Pastor Mike Fritcher and the Cottonwood family would like to welcome you to Living on Every Word.
Worship and sing a song of praise. Come into His house of joy sustained. Living on Every Word.
What are the things that hold me in bondage, and how desperate am I to see the freedom from those things? Now, folks, I understand that if you've been here any amount of time at Cottonwood, that I talk about freedom a whole lot. But I talk about it because I believe that that is God's purpose for your life. Listen, folks, the freedom that God gives to you is a freedom from the power of sin. It is. I promise you, you can be free today, whatever it is.
Living on every word.
Living on every word.
If you have your Bibles, I ask you to turn to Isaiah chapter 58. We continue this morning our series on fasting, prayer and fasting. And we've been talking in context of this thing that says, I am desperate today. I'm desperate. I'm going through desperate times. And what we've been talking about is desperate times call for desperate measures. And the desperate measure that we've been preaching about, talking about, is this desperate measure of prayer and fasting. And I don't think that it's just for desperate times. It's even the times when we know that God's purposes are not being fulfilled in our lives, and we may not be so desperate. In Isaiah chapter 58, we began last week looking at the purposes of God in this passage. We see in verse 5 that he says, this fast that I choose, verse 6, is a fast that will accomplish the purposes of God. When you look at verse 6, you're going to see freedom. In verse 7, you're going to see providing for practical needs in people's lives. In verse 8, you're going to see restoration and healing. In verse 9, 10, and 11, you're going to be seeing answered prayers and the manifestation of the presence of God. Five purposes that God has for you and me. Five of them here in this passage of Scripture. And he says these purposes are met. They are met when I walk in a season of fasting. Notice what he says. Is this not the fast which I choose? To loosen the bonds of wickedness, to undo the bands of the yoke, and to let the oppressed go free, and to break every yoke. The Scripture says that when we walk in a period of prayer and fasting, that God promises that His purpose of freedom would be accomplished in your life. Now, folks, I realize and understand that if you've been here any amount of time at Cottonwood, that I talk about freedom a whole lot. But I talk about it because I believe that that is God's purpose for your life. A freedom. And not just a momentary freedom. Not just from freedom here and then 5 weeks of bondage, and then freedom again, and then 5 weeks of bondage, but a freedom that is absolutely, totally causing you to walk in the fullness that God has called you to walk in. We look at this in this whole passage of Scripture. He says, listen, the fast that I choose is going to break the bonds of wickedness. It's going to set you free if you'll walk in this kind of fast that I'm calling. If you will take time and look at your life and ask the question, what are the things that hold me in check? What are the things that hold me in bondage? And how desperate am I to see the freedom from those things? How desperate am I? Am I desperate enough to miss a meal? 2 meals? 3 meals? 4 meals? 5? 6? 2 days? 2 days? 3 days? 4 days? How desperate are you for freedom? How desperate are you? Scripture speaks of this purpose in John chapter 8, verse 31. Hold your place in Isaiah, and please go to John chapter 8. Jesus is speaking to a group of people that supposedly came to believe him. We find in the latter chapters that when he didn't say what they liked to hear, that they picked up stones to throw at him. But he says in verse 31, if you abide in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine, and you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Now we know that the truth is Christ. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And he says, listen, you'll know this truth, you'll know me, and I, the truth, is going to make you free. Now they answered him and said, we're Abraham's offspring, and we've never yet been enslaved to anyone. Now how is it that you're telling us you shall become free? Understand what they're saying. They're looking at Jesus' promise and freedom that they think they already have. They already think they've got this freedom. Now they say, you know what? We're not walking in any in slavery. I mean, we're Abraham's offspring. You know, and because we're Abraham's offspring and no one's ever bought us. We've never had to work for them. Said, what are you talking about? And this is what he says. He says, the one who is committing sin, the one who is practicing, that is a present participle, and it describes your life, your life of sin. He says, if sin describes your life, you're the slave of sin. And the slave does not remain in the house forever. The son does remain forever. If therefore the son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. I know that you're Abraham's offspring, but you seek to kill me. Why? Because my word has no place in you. You know, I was thinking about this morning. You know, I don't know if there's not one of us in here that would say, I would ever want to kill Jesus. But I want to tell you, there's a lot of us in here who go through stages in our life where we would just rather snuff him out and ignore him in certain areas of our lives. And we often will say things like, you know, or live the way that says, you know what, you can have this area of my life and that area of my life and that, but you're not going to touch this area. This is where I'm going to hold on to. I'm going to hold on to this bitterness toward him. You're not going to touch this. I'm not going to give up this. I'm not going to give up my freedom here. I'm not going to give up my pride. I'm not going to give this up because I deserve to feel the way I am. And what you'll do is you'll snuff Jesus. It's like killing him out of your life. And it's saying, you know, you can't have this part of my life. You're saying, I'm not going to submit to you in this area. You're saying to him, Lord, you don't understand. And I want to tell you, yes, he does understand. He is the great high priest who's passed through the heavenlies, who's been tempted in all things as you and me, yet without sin. Amen. He does understand. And the question that we've got to ask is if that true of my life, are there certain areas of my life that I'm seeking to cover him up and saying, don't speak to me in that area. I don't want to deal with that right now. I don't want to deal with it all. And yet Jesus said, yes, my child, yes, my son, my daughter, I do want to deal with this. And I'm going to lay it wide open if you don't. I'm going to lay it wide open if you don't. And that ought to just come into our spirit, into our heart to say, oh God, whatever you want to do in my life. And I'm desperate for that. I'm desperate to be set free from this sin. I mean, we saw in Galatians 5:1 last week. He says, listen, it was for freedom that Christ set us free. Therefore, you keep standing firm and do not subject again to a yoke of slavery. Why is it? Why is it that you can be set free one moment and then 2 weeks later, you're submitting yourself to the same sin, the same yoke? And you come and you live your life and you look past 4 years, 5 years, and you see this pattern. Freedom, like we talked a minute ago. Freedom, freedom, freedom. And then all of a sudden, I'm yoked again to this anger. I'm yoked again to this bitterness. It may be a different person. It may be a different situation. But all of a sudden, you're yoked to it again. You're yoked to that dependency. Why is it? He says, listen, you keep standing firm. You keep standing firm and don't subject again. Don't subject yourself again to this yoke of slavery. It doesn't bring anything but misery. It doesn't bring anything but sadness. And it defiles everybody around you. It was for freedom that Christ set you free. Stand firm. Stand firm through the trial and the circumstance. And don't submit to that yoke or you'll be so miserable and so unhappy. Listen, folks, the freedom that God gives to you is a freedom from the power of sin. It is. I promise you. You can be free today, whatever it is. Whatever it is in your life. You know, we don't have to go through the lists. You know what it is. We don't have to go through a lot of sin sheets. You know what it is that holds you. And yet God desires that. The question is, how desperate are you? Desperate enough to say, God, I'm going to tell you what, God, I'm going to drink nothing but water until I'm set free from this. I'm not going to put anything in my mouth but water until I am free from this. I want to tell you, you have that kind of commitment, you will see the freedom of God as we've been seeing over the past couple of weeks. Aggressively seeking God's purposes of freedom means that I will be desperate for this freedom. And if I have to, I'll miss those meals to experience the freedom of God. A second purpose is the purpose that God has placed within you and me to meet the practical needs of other people. Look at verse 7 in Isaiah 58. You know, I tell you what, I believe that when you look at these passages, you look at the fulfillment of God. And when you're walking in these things, folks, you're so fulfilled. You're so happy. You're so joyful because God is just moving in your life and these things are happening in your life. Notice verse 6, it's freedom. Verse 7, Is it not in this fast that I'm choosing, this time of prayer and fasting, is it not to divide your bread with the hungry and bring the homeless poor into the house? That when you see the naked, to cover him and not to hide yourself from your own flesh? Notice, folks. Notice he says, listen, when you fast, isn't it for freedom, and isn't it for you to live a life of giving? Of giving yourself to those who are in need? Of giving your money, your resources? Is this not the fast which I choose? It's a fast that says, listen, you fast. And I'm going to give you everything you need to live godly, everything you need to live in this life, and then I'm going to give you more and more so that you're able to give it away. Folks, I want to tell you, look at this passage of Scripture, and you notice in Matthew chapter 25, verses 31 through 46, that God identifies the believer as the giver. Notice chapter 25, at the great judgment, verse 31, it says, when the Son of Man comes in His glory, and all the angels with Him, then He will sit on His glorious throne. Verse 32, and all the nations will be gathered before Him. He'll separate them from one another as the shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And He'll put the sheep on His right and the goats on His left. And the King will say to those on His right, come, you who are blessed of My Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and You gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, You gave me drink. I was a stranger, and You invited me in. Naked, You clothed me. Sick, You visited me. And I was in prison, and You came to me. And the righteous will answer and say, Lord, when did we see You hungry? When did we see You hungry and feed You? When did we see You thirsty and give You a drink? Lord, when did we see You a stranger and invite You in? Naked. Lord, we never saw You naked. When did we do that and clothe You? When did we see You sick? When do we see You in prison? And watch this. And the King will answer and say to them, truly, truly, I say to you, to the extent that you did it to one of these brothers of mine, even the least of them, you did it to me. I want you to notice, this is just a suggestion this morning. But you know, when I look at this passage of Scripture, it's the great judgment. He has separated sheep from goats. He has said, sheep, you're the ones that did these things to me. He said, you know what? When you say, I didn't know I was doing it to you. We never saw that. What is He doing here? That's what I believe He's doing. He said, you know what? Here's the guy that you fed. And when you were doing it to him, you did it to me. Here's the guy you clothed. Here's the family right here that you welcomed into your home, who was the homeless poor. When you did it to this family, you were doing it to me. Here's this guy in prison that nobody cared for anymore. This vile criminal that you came and visited. And when you visited this man here, you visited me. When this person was sick, when she didn't know who you were, when her mind was so gone. This is the woman. When you did that, folks, when you did it, you were visiting me. You were visiting me. Folks, listen to me. Meeting practical needs. Giving of our goods. If you have the world's goods and you behold your brother in need and you close your heart against him, how does the love of God abide in him? Little children, you don't love with word or with tongue. You love with deed and you love in truth. Great judgment. Notice what he says. Then he will say to them on his left, depart from me, accursed ones, into eternal fire, which has been prepared for you and his angels. I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, you gave me nothing to drink. I was the stranger, and you didn't invite me in. I was the naked one, and you didn't clothe me. Sick in prison, you didn't visit me. And then they will also answer and say, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty? Oh God, when did we see you a stranger? If we would have saw you naked or sick, we would have come to you. We would have taken care of you. And he will answer and say, truly, I say to you, to the extent that you did not do it to the one of the least of these, when you didn't do it to this person right here who was hungry, when you didn't do it to this person who was thirsty, when you didn't do it to this person who was sick or in prison, you didn't do it to me. I got to ask you, have you been so consumed with your own needs in your own difficulties, in your own trials, that you're missing the hungry, the thirsty, the naked, the poor? Are you so consumed with your life, so consumed with the things of this world, the things of this life, that you are missing the ones in prison and the ones that are sick? Are you doing, folks, listen, he identifies in this great judgment, sheep feed Christ. And the way you feed Christ is you feed the hungry. You give to Christ. The way you give to Christ is you give to the least of these. And here are goats on the right side who say, you will depart from me. You will go into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. Folks, when we talk about fasting, we're talking about getting our eyes off of our stuff and our things and getting them on the eyes of our God and onto the body of Christ. And I want to ask you, where are your eyes today? Where is your pocketbook? Where are your feet and your hands? Where are they today? Where are they running to? Perhaps you've been so consumed, and I know I have. These past few weeks, I've been consumed with some of the things that are going on in my life, the things that are happening. But folks, sometimes when I'm desperate enough to say, God, I want to see my life like this. Am I willing? Am I willing to move into a fast that God desires, that God chooses, that will actually meet the needs of people among us and meet the needs of our body? Will that be the fast that God has called us to? Freedom and then meeting practical needs. But I want to tell you, there's a third thing here in verse 8. Notice what he says. When you fast the way I call you to fast, your light will break out like the dawn, your recovery will speedily spring forth, and your righteousness will go before you, and the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. Folks, notice the promise here. Notice it. When you look at this promise of restoration and healing, you're looking at fasting for no more darkness. Fasting for a speedily recovery. And Lord knows there's lots of us who need recovering today. We need recovery from the darkness. We need recovery from the sickness. We need recovery from the damage that we've walked in. We need it, and we need it speedily. He says, when you fast, your light will break forth like dawn. No more darkness. Your recovery will speedily spring forth. You'll have this righteousness before you, a right lifestyle. You'll have God's glory following you wherever you go. You know, when I was thinking about this message, I thought of a number of verses. I want to share them with you. You don't need to turn there. Romans 8, 28 and 29 says, we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. For whom He foreknew, He predestined to become conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. I asked the question this week, how could Paul really say that? How could Paul say that? How could he say that? Because he knew it. He knew with every beating that he'd get from the Jews. He knew that from every moment of imprisonment. He knew that every night that he went without food, in cold and exposure, every abusive speech that came out of religious people's lives toward him, he knew, he understood. He understood, folks, that God was at work. That God was at work in his life. And that God was fulfilling the very purposes that we're talking about in this passage of Scripture. He knew it. And that God would cause it to work together to fulfill His purpose. So that even in a prison cell in Rome or in Philippi, after being beaten half to death, he would sing praises to God. Why? Because the light was already dawning. Because the recovery was already happening. Because the righteousness was going before him and the glory was his rear guard. I want to ask you, how desperate are you for the glory of God? How desperate are you for right decisions? I thought about Joseph. You know the story. Here's a guy that was loved by his father more than the others. Here's a guy that was honored. Here was a guy whose brothers could not stand him, who hated him, who could not speak on good terms with him. Here's a boy that one day their brother's plotting to kill him, decides to sell him into Egypt to slavery. Ends up 7 years in slavery. But God prospers him. You know what God prospers him? Because he's not blaming his brothers for his circumstances. He's not blaming anybody for where he is. And as a matter of fact, I guarantee you, he's walking in forgiveness, and there's no bitterness. You know why? Because I'm going to tell you, God can't bless a bitter person. It's just not going to happen. He just can't do it. You can't prosper in your bitterness. You can't prosper in your unforgiveness. This guy goes to Egypt. Did he hurt? Yes, he hurt. Was he tempted? Yes, he was tempted. Did he have some rough days? Yes, he had rough days. But there was this solid integrity about this young man that when he is far away from home, sold by his brothers, left for dead, told his dad that he was dead, he was dead to them. But I want to tell you, he was alive to God. And in his life to God, folks, listen, in his life to God, there'd come a moment because of his great integrity, after temptation, after temptation, after temptation from this woman in the household, he would say no, he would say no, he would say no. She would say rape, and he would be thrown into the prison. But because he's not bitter, because he's not angry, because the favor of God's upon him, he prospers in his prison term. One day, in one swoop, he is in the prison cell, and a few hours later, he is second in command of all Egypt. What a story. So that when these brothers come for food, he will say in Genesis 50:20, "As for you, you meant evil against me. You did this as evil against me." But I'm going to tell you, God meant it for good in order to bring about this present result to preserve many people alive. How could Joseph do this? It's the same way that you and I could do it. Believing that our God is greater than your circumstances, and believing that these circumstances just might be the circumstances, as evil as they may be, that propels us to the next glory. The next glory. Folks, listen to me. It's from the grave that Christ comes. That's where resurrection happens. It's from death that life happens and springs forth. It may be dark. It may be dark to you right now in your circumstances. But like Joseph, let's not walk in that bitterness or anger. Let us move forward to say these circumstances are the circumstances that are actually going to propel me to the next glory. Listen to me. Would Joseph have made it to Egypt unless he had gone into prison? Maybe God might have done a different way. But it was in a prison cell in Egypt that God would propel him to the loftiest place in all civilization. I want to tell you, there's no darkness for him. There's nothing but speedy recovery. There's a right lifestyle, a righteousness that makes right decisions, even in slavery and even being falsely accused. There is this glory that follows him wherever he goes because he makes these right choices, my friends. He makes them. And folks, you may say to me, but is it too late for me? Listen, no, it's not too late for you. You might have made poor choices. The glory of God may not be upon you. You may have walked in disobedience to God, but we got a God that's a God whose purpose for you is restoration and healing, where he says, I don't want any darkness in your life. I don't want any of this sickness and this junk in your life. I want this right lifestyle. I want this God. I want my glory in you. The question is how desperate are you for it? Are you desperate enough to fast for it? The freedom to see the freedom of God in people's lives and to see your life moving in this light and in this recovery, in this lifestyle, in this glory. How desperate are we as a church body? How desperate are we? How desperate will we be? You know, I see a couple more in this passage of Scripture. I see answered prayers. Notice what he says. You will call and the Lord will answer. You will cry and he'll say, "Here I am." How often have you gone through your circumstances, as we said earlier, and said, "God's not listening to me. I can't get through. I can't get through to God." I have felt that way. I felt that way this week sometimes. Bible says, listen, if the fast that I choose, you're going to hear me say, "Here I am." How desperate are you to hear God say, "Here I am"? Desperate enough to miss a few meals for it? Here I am. I'm right here. I will answer your prayers. I will answer your call. You know, when I looked at just a few passages of Scriptures this week, when God answers, he says, "The eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry. The face of the Lord is against evildoers to cut off the memory of them from the earth. But the righteous, they cry, and the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles." Wow, what a wonderful thought. Are you troubled today? We have a God that wants to deliver you out of all your troubles. Psalm 37:4, delight yourself in the Lord. He'll give you the desires of your heart. Call upon me in the day of trouble. I'll rescue and honor you. He says, listen, if you regard wickedness in your heart, the Lord won't hear. But certainly God has heard. He's given heed to the voice of my prayer. He will call upon me. I'll answer him. I'll be with him in trouble. I'll rescue him and honor him. Psalm 118:5, from my distress I called upon the Lord. The Lord answered me and set me in a large place. O people in Zion, inhabit in Jerusalem, you will weep no longer. He will surely be gracious to you at the sound of your cry. When he hears it, he will answer you. It will also come to pass that before they call, I'll answer. And while they are still speaking, I will hear. You will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you, and you will seek me and find me when you search with me for all your heart. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you'll find. Knock and it shall be open. For everyone who is asking receives, and he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks will be open. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God, and whatever we ask, we receive from Him because we keep His word and do the things that are pleasing in His sight. Folks, you get answered prayer, and you know what else you get? Folks, you'll get answered prayer, and you'll manifest the presence of God. Folks, and I want to tell you this. Notice what He says, verse 11. If you'll just look at your Bibles here, okay? It says, look, He says, Isaiah 58:11, and the Lord, this is what He'll do. The Lord will continually guide you. And He'll satisfy your desire, even in the scorched places. He's going to give strength to your bones. You're going to be like a watered garden, like a spring of water whose waters do not fail. And those from among you, here it is, they're going to rebuild the ancient ruins. You're going to raise up the age-old foundations, and you will be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of the streets in which to dwell. Folks, I want everybody to look at me right now, please. Does the freedom of God appeal to you? Amen. Does restoration and healing appeal to you? Does right relationships appeal to you? Let me ask you, does it? I mean, these are the promises of God. He says, listen, you do this, and you know those from among you, they don't have to succeed in this world. They're going to rebuild ancient ruins. Your kids will raise up age-old foundations. You'll be called repair of the breach, restore of the streets to dwell. But we're raising our kids, folks, sometimes in the ways that, folks, they'll be the breach makers instead of the breach restorers. Folks, listen to me. How desperate are we today? Would you bow with me in prayer? I look at this passage of Scripture in Isaiah 58. And I can look at my life, and I can look at seasons of it, and I see how my decisions and some of the things that I do just bring misery on my life in those moments. You know, it's no secret to you that I'm a guy that worries, has a propensity to worry and a propensity to fear. And I know, what it's like to wring my hands over lots of things. Question I want to ask Mike Fritcher is, how desperate are you to come to a place that you no longer wring your hands, but you trust? How desperate? How desperate are we for a move of God in our nation? How desperate are we for a move of God in our communities? A move of God in our families, in our marriage? How desperate? My prayer is that you'd be desperate enough to take to heart Isaiah 58 and watch the purposes of God fulfilled as you aggressively pursue them through this desperate measure. Father, I pray that You'd prick our heart today, that You'd move in a mighty way. And Father God, that we would see the glory of God. We'll thank You and bless You for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Cottonwood is located 3 miles east of Dublin on Highway 6. For more information on the ministries of Cottonwood, or to obtain a copy of today's message, please call us at 254-445-2929, or you can visit us on the web at www.cottonwoodtx.com.